Yes. Talk, Zach. Bonus
just starts diamond up people. Wait till he becomes a defensive player of the year under Mike Brown.
Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic.
Is this thing on? One, two, Mike, check, one, two.
And the communication, that's your glue.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before. We've seen the story
Welcome
before.
To the Athletic NBA Show. Monday on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Part of... No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
Welcome back to Point of Contention, 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention, 2022. Coming up on the show, Nets willing to do anything? Jimmy Butler locked in again. Can Miles Turner the table for LA? Tanks for nothing. And are the woeful Warriors getting rooked? Today is November 3rd. Happy Sandwich Day. On this day in 1957, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik 2, which carried the dog Laika, the first living creature to be shot into space and orbit Earth. Jade, play the tape.
Laika was a stray dog in Russia. She was selected to be sent into outer space. The aim was to learn how long a dog can last in space. With a rapid breath and pounding heart, Laika rode a rocket called Sputnik 2 into Earth orbit on November 3rd, 1957.
Did she ever come back? Come here, Laika. Come here, girl.
Frightened, overheated, and cramped, she gave her life for Soviet Union involuntarily. This was a suicide mission because the satellite was not destined to bring her back to Earth.
All right, let's get to our contestants. In this corner, loudmouth of...
I don't know if I like it that.
The loudmouth of Southie, the most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics, he reps Kings, and he still believes in Aaron Kraft, Eric Devendorf, and anybody else who flamed out from college on their way to the basketball tournament. Ride with him on Peloton.
Len Elmore gang.
At the kid, at the god, it's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, what's your favorite sandwich?
I gotta go with steak and cheese, probably.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not a bad one. Is there a particular spot you think of where it's just like anywhere you can get a steak and cheese?
There's this place called Bennett Sandwich in Boston that I'll order two of their steak and cheeses.
Like two?
One for lunch and one for dinner.
Wow. Okay.
And so I guess that's a little window into my troubles there.
Is a cheesesteak a sandwich?
I think you can label it a sandwich.
Then why isn't it a hot dog?
Because a hot dog...
Hot dog's a sandwich.
Hot dog is just a hot dog.
That doesn't make any sense. Not at all.
Yeah, but it's just a hot dog.
You're wearing a tank top right now. What happened? What's happening? You just come from a game practice? What are you doing? You guys getting the 2-21 band back together?
I just took a shower.
Unnecessary detail. And in this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. He's written 3 books with ridiculously long titles you can find in bookstores everywhere.
Even those bookstores.
He's the friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley. He puts the sauce in Sausalito. He puts the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the Petty in Petaluma. But more importantly, he's the OG from Oakland. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what's your favorite sandwich?
Me and my two wives.
Yo, easy, Lou.
Yo. There, to me, it's got to be a fried chicken sandwich.
What? Okay, hold on. What kind of fried chicken?
Lou Williams over here.
Talking Korean fried chicken, hot fried, like hot chicken.
It's only Korean fried chicken for him.
The versatility of the chicken sandwich, man. Like, you can go many ways.
No, but there are different tiers of it. Like, I love a southern fried chicken and throw it in a sandwich and everything. I'm good with that. But the Korean fried chicken, I don't think can be beat.
It's a tough call. I'm just saying.
Are we just going to hype up Korean fried chicken every week on this podcast? Like, at some point.
When it stops being amazing, we'll stop talking about it, okay? Spoiler alert, next week, more Korean fried chicken talk.
There's this citric this citric like fried chicken sandwich in Oakland that I'm like addicted to.
Oh, man.
It's the flavors just go crazy. Yeah, I might be.
I feel like if you have to say you might be addicted to something, you are addicted to.
Probably are addicted, right? Yeah. Especially if you scratch your neck while you say it, like I might be addicted to.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, I might be addicted to sandwiches. All right, tick off the banter box there, Jade. Start the clock. Take one. The greatest shit show on earth. In a stunning turn of events on Tuesday, the Nets fired Steve Nash, as many predicted and some requested, and then finalized a deal to hire suspended Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka. What in the actual and literal f*** is happening in the middle of another Kyrie Irving maelstrom?
My name translates into the Hebrew language as Yahweh.
No, let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh.
We're now
sharing on my platform in terms of the backlash for what people call it.
In terms of the backlash for what people call it. We're in 2022.
The Nets, who have lost 6 of 8 games to start the season, decided to bring back Udoka, who was an assistant coach under Steve Nash prior to the Celtics gig. Jade, play the tape.
Bring out your dead.
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Well, I can't take it like that.
Sean, considering that long-standing relationship, how much input did you solicit from the players, particularly your stars like Kevin and Kyrie, in making this decision? And what changed, I guess, from in 7 games, from training camp to now?
Yeah, zero. There was zero input from any of the players on this. I think this was a decision that we didn't need that. Steve and I didn't need that. Obviously, I've talked to Joe about this, but the players were not consulted. They were told ahead of time that this was the direction we were going to today, but I don't think we needed that that input right now.
Udoka has a long history with Nets general manager Sean Marks, dating back to them working together with the San Antonio Spurs. According to ESPN, the independent law firm probe into Udoka found that he used crude language in his dialogue with a female subordinate before the start of an improper workplace relationship with the woman, an element that significantly factored into the severity of his suspension with the Celtics. And allegedly a lot more that has not been reported for some reason. As Rob Mahoney of The Ringer put it, quote, "The Brooklyn Nets aren't just the greatest shit show in the NBA, but a shit show so colossal as to have its own gravitational pull to perpetuate bizarre decisions in a kind of relentless feedback loop, turning bad to worse to truly inexplicable."
My name translates in the Hebrew language as Yahweh. So,
meanwhile, Kevin Durant said he was shocked.
Ouch!
He said he was shocked when he learned of Steve Nash's exit. This just a few months removed from Durant's ultimatum to fire Steve Nash and Sean Marks.
First off, I guess, when did you find out about Steve? How were you informed?
About 1:15, I woke up from my nap and turned to the right and seen it on ESPN.
And what were your, initial reaction? I mean, everybody knows what went on this summer, but what was your first thought when you saw that?
Oh, shocked. I mean, you're always shocked when a move like this happens, but it's normal in the NBA, so it's about getting ready for the game tonight. So it's a quick turnaround always in the league, especially during the season. You got practice games coming up, so you can't think too much about it, but it was on the mind for a little bit today.
Really, that shot, KD? You sure about that? You sure about that word choice?
For, a guy of your stature, were you consulted at least beforehand? Even though you didn't know for a certainty.
Let's be real. We pros. We're veterans. We had a tough start. It was a rocky year last year, rocky summer. We knew that everybody was being evaluated. That's just how it is in the league, I like working with Steve. I like working with the coaching staff. It was a roller coaster the last few years, but, the core of it, basketball, is something that we all love to do, So regardless of who the coach, regardless of, the circumstances, still got to come to work. So I enjoy coming to work with Steve.
Marcus, there's a lot to unpack here. What the fuck? Like, is the hiring of Udoka a clear sign of the Nets' willingness to win at any cost?
Well, who said anything about winning first?
Well, I think that's the goal. I'm going to assume that's the goal.
No, you. We all missed it. The Forbes valuation list came out, and the Warriors were number one with like $7 billion. But what everybody didn't look at was the operating income. And the Warriors were number one at $206 million. Guess what the Nets were? Minus $34 million. The Nets have decided, you know what? We got to make some money somehow.
That's tough.
Let's get this reality show cracking. All drama is good drama.
Let's pay two head coaches at once.
Like, clearly this basketball thing isn't working. So let's create a reality TV show. And you know what? This is actually good business right here, right? Let's drum this up. The Nets are not good, and yet we constantly talk about them. So, hey, I think this plan might be working, winning aside.
Jay,
it's
what do we do here?
It's just utter madness. The Kyrie stuff is just bad, and it seems to get worse every day, to the point where Sean Marks came out and said that they can't have him talk to the media because
you can't trust him.
Like, you know what? Let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh.
They need to let him simmer down. Of course you can't trust him. What? Of course you can't trust him. Obviously you can't trust him.
He's 30 years old, by the way. I just want to remind everybody, he's 30 years old.
And yeah, now,
that's an NBA 30, though. That's like
now they've
when you got to the league at 19. That's 11 years, which is really like 5 years in real life.
Yeah, and now they've hired a coach who the Celtics deemed unfit to coach them even after he took them to the finals. So that's a window into how seriously the Celtics took the situation. And the Nets are like, yeah, whatever, man. He's going to be the hard ass we need. And he's going to come in. He's going to be able to connect with Durant and Irving and bring Ben Simmons to a new level. And he might, honestly, he was very good in Boston. Yeah. He really turned them around. He told them the truth and they listened to him and they respected him. And I think there are a lot of players in Boston now that are very confused and shocked and look at how their coach after six games is now coaching the Nets. Six games. That's how long basically his suspension lasted because the Celtics six allowed him. And the Celtics had to allow this too. For no compensation.
And didn't get compensation. Yeah, it was like, you know,
that's
we good.
How bad,
for no
that's
compensation.
That's how bad they wanted him out and wanted no legal battle in any of what was about to happen after this season. They're just like, let's get it done.
They were just like, yeah, you know what? You can go coach a rival who still has a lot of talent and still has like two amazing pieces if Kyrie can stay focused. And
so one.
What?
So one amazing piece.
And whatever Simmons can be. It's stunning, though. And there are so many layers to it. But basketball-wise, I really think he could be a very good fit for Brooklyn.
What about, Marcus, what about culture-wise? Because, like, that is a word we throw around
what
very
culture?
Loosely.
They have
well,
none.
That's exactly.
But,
like,
but
so
that's where Ime might be good, though, at
what about
one.
The organizational culture, though? Like, yes, he may create a basketball culture, which is clearly very needed, but what the fuck is going on with this organization?
I don't, like, can he make it worse? Like, I don't understand. Like,
I don't want anyone to answer that with hold my beer, okay? Like, we shouldn't ask, like, hey, I mean, how worse can it get? It could get, I believe it could. I don't know how, but I believe it could.
The organizational culture can't really fix now. Like, I don't think you can fix that right now. The best hope you have is to create some kind of basketball culture to somehow salvage this season. And there's still plenty of talent on their roster. We all, like, absolutely do not believe in them now. So they could literally go with us against the world and all that other stuff. Like, Ime could pull this out of them. And they still have Kevin Durant, right? And they still have, like, pieces who, like, I feel like when Seth Curry gets healthy, when Joe Harris gets a rhythm, like this stuff matters. They can be a good team, but Ime is proven to be a good coach. Like, right now, like, on a serious tip, if they just figure out a way to focus everything on basketball, that's the best thing for them. Now, I don't know how Ime can do that. Maybe it's like in the West Wing when Alan Alda's character just said, hey, man, we're going to do one press conference, and I'm going to take every question you got, every one of them, and then this is it. I'm going to dry you out. They need one of those moments because he's going to have to answer some questions, and right? But if somehow you get past that and you can just focus on hoop, like, I've literally seen it work with Mark Jackson and the Warriors, right? Like, let's close this locker room off. Let's keep everything out. And somehow you make the, like, that's, you could salvage some hoop games that way, and that's probably the best yeah. hope they have.
It just seems like a desperation swing, right? Like,
oh, super desperate.
This is as desperate as it gets, a last yeah. ditch effort to try to salvage
the who else Kevin was taking Durant the job?
Kyrie Irving era.
Who else was taking that job?
Kenny Atkinson.
That's a tough job. Steve Nash is the luckiest man.
Kenny Atkinson walked away from he walked away from Charlotte. Like, I'm cool. What would he have done to Brooklyn?
Remember when Mike Brown popped up at Chick-fil-A and was like so happy after the Lakers fired him?
Yeah.
I feel like Steve Nash is going to pop up at a Chick-fil-A. Like, just so excited.
Nah, Steve Nash is going to pop up at a Tottenham Hotspurs UEFA Champions League game.
That's pick up soccer with Mo Dekeu.
You know what I'm saying?
Our spirit was great. We were connected. Played hard. We're going to do the extra things and little things, you know, especially at the end. We had a tired group at the end there.
All right, take two. The Butler did it again. Miami Heat are off to a disappointing 3-5 start, but Miami star Jimmy Butler hasn't had his confidence shaken at all. Quote, "We're still going to win the championship." And I don't care what nobody says. Butler said, "Following
really
the Kings."
Care what anybody says.
Quote, "Count us out. We're going to win the fucking championship. I'm telling you, I don't give a damn that we started 2-5. Jimmy, whatever it takes, Butler was just one member of the Heat to remind the media that it's still early in the season. Miami coach Eric Spoelstra said his team is, quote,
not in a panic about it,
end quote. Who could forget Jimmy Unplugged, no stranger to being locked in, said to our colleague Sam Amick at the beginning of the 2020 NBA season, quote, I'm so fucking locked in right now and I'll do whatever it takes to win. However, last March, Big Face Butler said this to the AP, quote, too much of a good thing is always a bad thing. I live by that. I try to take it day by day, realizing that I do keep the main thing, that is basketball. But if I'm too locked in, I forget about everything else, everybody else, and I don't want to do that. I'd also like to remind everybody that Jimmy Butler once said he removed the rearview mirror from his car because he doesn't look back in life, and I cannot stress enough what a hazard that is, no matter how locked in you are. Like, please don't review any mirrors from
as
your
long
car.
You got the side mirrors.
Most people say stuff like this and it's so annoying and you just want to.
It's so great with them.
But with Jimmy Butler, I just kind of believe him.
So Jay, you and your belief in Jimmy Butler, can Jimmy and the Heat lock in the 2022-2023 season and right this ship?
No.
They're
not talented enough. They don't have the same defensive pedigree they did last season. Losing PJ Tucker is a big deal. They didn't replace that type of player. Kyle Lowry is another year older. Adebayo and Jimmy, you can still sag off those guys to some extent. And I just don't see that roster as good enough. Spoelstra is a wizard. They'll win a lot of games. They're just not as good as they have been. And not as good as they were last season.
Marcus, are you locked in?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay. are the Heat locked in? Are the Heat going to get locked in?
I think the problem is they are locked in. Like, it's game 8 and Jimmy Butler's already having to give Battle of Gettysburg speeches. Like,
no,
this-
he wakes up on a Tuesday morning in the offseason and does the same stuff.
I guarantee he's at a restaurant. He's at Buca de Pepo. And they say, sir, fresh ground pepper on your salad? And he says,
I'm going to win the fucking championship.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jimmy is locked in, like, way too early, buddy. Hold on. And then he's turning around. And it's like, but so who's with me? And it's like, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, right? They've already dusted off Duncan Robinson. They're playing like
guys. Man, he looked good against the Warriors.
Yeah, he did. Against people who aren't playing defense, that's not going to win you a championship. We've already seen this. I do think that's a problem. He's turning around like, yo, who's with me? Bam's with him. Kyle's with him, but Kyle's like 36, about to be 37. That ain't the same with him. I agree. Like, PJ Tucker was that dude. To me, like, one of the keys is going to be Gabe. Like, Gabe is actually really good. And if he takes another level, that, like, might be enough. But he needs somebody to ride with him. Like, you got to beat Milwaukee.
Hold on.
Right? You got to beat Philly.
Guys, we got Max Strus in there, who's, I believe, in a contract year and really good. Max Strus is really good. That dude's going to get $15 million in the summer. Like, he's really good.
But last year, they were just street fighters. Like, Bam, PJ, Jimmy, and Kyle Lowry is like the toughest quartet in the league. That was just, they knew they were going to be bleeding. Everybody else around them was going to be bleeding. That was going to be their style. I just don't know what their identity is now. Like, are you an offensive-minded team that throws out Hero and Duncan Robinson?
Jay, when your identity is Street Fighter, you don't go away from Street Fighter. Like, that's just what you are.
Yeah, but at some point, your knuckles hurt too much, right? Yeah,
not if you're so fucking locked in and you'll do whatever it takes to win.
It's what's around him that's troubling to me.
Yeah. One thing that worries me is
you can't go to a street fight with Duncan Robinson. No, Duncan Robinson is good. I make jokes about him, but he's good, and he's probably been like that. It's weird how they've handled him. But last year they had to. They felt like they had to because last year defense was their identity, and this year I don't know if they know their identity. Well, yet.
And he went from being like a historic 3-point shooter to being like
a good, pretty good shooter. Yeah.
And you paid him to be historic, right? Like he was shooting at the clip that Klay Thompson used to shoot at. And so, like, when he
Klay Thompson is shooting at.
Come on, man. Don't do that to Klay.
My bad.
Klay Thompson. I can't believe you guys are out on the Heat.
I'm not.
That's a mistake,
my
friends.
They'll be much better than they are right now. They'll win a lot of games. I just, unless they are able to replace that PJ Tucker role and get more defense, I just don't think their offense will be good enough.
Not a Dwayne Dedmon fan?
I also think the East is going to be tough, man.
No, I'm not a Dwayne Dedmon fan.
getting past the Bucks is going to be a problem if the Bucks are healthy, right? Like, that Bucks team is...
Like, who guards...
Far above everybody else.
Who guards Giannis? And if Bam is guarding Giannis, what's the help
situation? I think getting past Boston will be tough. And I still think, like, you don't want to see Cleveland too early in the playoffs just because they'll have guys that could take a chunk. Like, to me, it's just a lot of good teams. I feel like Miami, if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, it'll be another situation where Jimmy is like, I could go to the hole and push this to overtime, but I'm way too tired. Let's chuck this three.
Like, hey, man, he's hitting like 40% this year.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like it's going to take so much to get to the East Finals. Because he just doesn't have that.
Yeah, but that's every year. Like, if they only get back to the East Finals again, I know it's not, I'm going to win a fucking championship, but that's...
No, that's incredible.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's incredible.
That would be 3 out of 4 years of being in the East Finals or better.
I just don't know that they're better to get over that hump.
I also feel like every year I look at the Heat and doubt them, and then they pull a Max Strus out of their ass and just... Prove me wrong.
That's going to be Nikola Jovic now, right?
Like this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If Jovic just by playoff time is averaging 30 minutes a game and a huge plus, then I won't be shocked.
Also, if he's averaging 30 minutes a game by playoff time, like that might not be a good thing. They might be in trouble if they got to rely on a rookie to come in and play 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. Well, you would have said the same thing about Max Strus last year. And then all of a sudden, he's really good.
Yeah, he's really good, and he's good on both ends of the floor, which is important. Hey, don't forget to check out our friends over at No Dunks, J.E. Skeets, Tass Mellis, Trey Kirby, produced by Jason Doyle, Monday through Friday, sometimes on the weekends and nights, right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Back after this.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back. Take 3.
Can Miles Turner the table for the Lakers? Although the Lakers and Pacers stepped away from the trade talks shortly before training camp that involved Russell Westbrook and draft picks going to Indiana for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, the Pacers center says it's a deal that could be worth revisiting. That's right. Pacers center Miles Turner thinks the Lakers should trade for him. Jade, play the tape.
That's such an intriguing question at that. I think personally, you know, when you look at this business of the league and, you know the landscape of the league, you know, you have to go off your future, right? And we all know picks are so valuable in this league. And someone like myself, I'm heading into the last year of my, you know, my deal. And you want to make sure, you know, you're getting a return, you know, for your assets, right? So, you know, if I'm the Lakers, I take a very hard look at this with the position that you're in. I know what I can provide for a team, you know, my leadership, my shot blocking, you know, my three-point ability, and just my ability to make plays out there on the floor. And I take a very long look at it. But as far as pulling the trigger, you know, that's I get paid to shoot. You know, and I'm paid to make these calls. So
everything turn. There is a season turn. And
comments were made during an appearance on an ESPN podcast. In the interest of full disclosure, Buddy Hield is a former client of Rob Pelinka who has promises to keep and miles to go before he sleeps. As reported, the Lakers have been reluctant to include both their first-round picks in 2027 and 2029 to upgrade this roster. According to reports, the Lakers plan to reassess the roster approximately 20 games in and could look to re-engage in trade talks around Thanksgiving. Spoiler alert, you'll still be terrible when we're watching the Detroit Lions with a turkey leg in one hand and the TV remote in the other so we can check in on that Charlie Brown balloon in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. Marcus, can Miles Turner the table on this awful Lakers season?
No, he cannot.
By the way, this is Miles Turner who's shooting 34% from the field in his three games back.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Pacers, I'm trying to, you know.
He said he's going to have a breakout year, didn't he?
No, Miles Turner is actually like a really good player. And I do feel like if he's your third or fourth best player, you're a good team. But you have the Miles Turner, Anthony Davis problem. And both of those dudes kind of like to stand outside the paint, shoot the ball. And at some point, somebody's kind of got to get down low. I think they'd be better. I think he can make them a play-in, maybe playoff-type team. It might be enough. What LeBron
especially if Buddy
comes with him, yeah. What LeBron needs, what he's not getting, is somebody to just say, yo, this is my team for right now. And I don't know if Miles Turner is that guy, which means LeBron's still going to have to be LeBron.
You're not that guy.
Yeah,
you're
not that guy, pal. It's kind of the same problem. But, yeah, he can help. I mean, like look, yeah. Who are they playing now, right? Like, I just remember Lakers lamenting.
They're playing Damian Jones.
Stanley.
Stanley
Johnson did. They were like, no, we lost Stanley.
Man, they
Johnson.
Need Stanley Johnson. Let me tell you, right? They need someone who wants to play defense.
Miles Turner is
right
definitely
now.
An upgrade, but I don't know if he gets them over the hump in the West.
Jay, is it worth giving up the future picks?
No. And this is the only thing the Lakers have done right in like since their championship is hold on to these picks. And I don't trust that they'll continue to hold on to the picks because they're going to get desperate. And they're going to look at their awful record. But no, you don't trade the picks because this team is never going to be good enough. Miles Turner ain't helping this team. Buddy Hield ain't pushing this team over the top. Anybody else listed as a possibility for that team, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, some of those guys are good players. But this team is no good. And they're not just one or two like role players away from becoming good either. This just... they're not good enough. And I really think they blew an opportunity to trade Anthony Davis, trade LeBron James, and rebuild, as hard as that would have been, they could have reloaded on all their picks. They would have still been the Lakers. They would have been able to have that clout to go after free agents down the road. Instead, they just, no.
Can you have LeBron break that record in someone else's jersey after trading him?
Yeah, why not?
Like, that's because that's the only thing they have going for them right now.
Is that LeBron might break also, a record in their jersey?
Who's given up future picks? Like good future first round picks for LeBron? He's 37. You're 20. Like,
he's still LeBron James. And he's still
on offense.
He's good enough to put Orlando, a Mike, good team way over the top.
He's horrible.
Plus, he's LeBron James. Just the business aspect of it would be a huge boon for any organization out there, including the Lakers, which might be part of why they kept him.
Selling all those jerseys. They just have to wait for like Draymond Green to come sign with them this summer, Marcus. Like, that's the plan. They're keeping all that cap space.
And they've really got to hit the picks. They've got to find some young talent. One thing we've learned about this season is chemistry and like how a team is assembled matters as much as anything. They're just a poorly assembled roster. So they've got to get pieces to make it make sense. To me, like I know I've said this like jokingly, but the more I think about it, the more they should do it. Is they need to go get De'Aaron Fox, man. Yes, get De'Aaron Fox. That's the short term fix right there. Go get De'Aaron Fox.
What?
For Russell Westbrook. Boom. Book that. Why would the Kings do it?
No, why would the Lakers? How is that a solution?
De'Aaron Fox can carry the Lakers, like, put the ball in his hands. Yeah. About as far as anybody carrying him right now.
Zach looks baffled right now.
Russ is an expiring contract.
He's a good player, bro. Like, he's a good player.
He is capable of scoring at a respectable efficiency.
And that's what they need right now. They need somebody.
No, they need a lot more than that. They need a guy who helps the team and plays defense, is
a point guard who
makes others better,
shoot the rock, and create offense off the dribble.
Isn't it sad though how they've wasted LeBron? Like, there is a proven formula for the types of players to surround him with, and just guys who play defense and make threes. And they got none of those guys. They just launched brick after brick after brick. That front office, they have just absolutely wasted the last great years from LeBron James. And it's bad, man. It's so bad to watch them. They are a joke.
I don't want to be a hall monitor here, but I think we've missed the point of this entire conversation. That's probably on me. I should have asked something, but like, should Miles Turner be fined for openly asking to be traded to the Lakers? Like, this is fucking nuts.
He's not tampering with another player. He's talking about his own situation.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to like openly request a trade.
Right? I would look really good in the purple and gold.
Yeah, you can't tamper yourself.
I would love to
baby.
Be in LA.
It's not tampering. It's, you know.
Oh, so when the Sixers have free agent conversations with PJ fucking Tucker weeks earlier, all of a sudden that's worth two second round picks, right?
I'm just saying, was PJ Tucker on their team?
We're going from tampering to pampering. Like,
it's pampering. All Miles Turner is doing is imagining a better life.
He's trying to get traded to the Lakers.
Dehumanize Miles Turner. All he's doing is thinking about a better life for himself. He is thinking about
Marcus, classic media member, trying to get famous on an Instagram reel, once again, trying to go viral.
Miles Turner just trying to envision a better life for himself. He's just trying to progress, and you trying to fine him for it? Like, come on. He has a right to liberty, too.
I do feel bad for Miles Turner, though. He's like Terrence Ross, man. Like, the Magic traded everybody and just left Terrence Ross to drown on that sinking ship.
Terrence Ross don't care. Like, yo, give me shots and I'm good.
And the Pacers wants shots and to be able to play 2K.
The Pacers traded Sabonis.
They traded Brogdon, and Miles Turner is just so devastated that he's still there, that he's out there clamoring for himself to get traded.
The only chance he has is if a team really wants Buddy Hield. He's just attached to Buddy Hield, like, big contract. You and me, buddy, we're going. All right, coming up after the break, tanks for nothing. And are the Warriors okay? Back after this.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
All right, Jade, it's time for take four. Tank four, tanks for nothing. It's the Zach Harper NBA Power Rankings update, motherfuckers.
You know, as you know, Malika, shortly before the pandemic.
Switch that.
And so this whole notion of tanking came up. Nothing's
Zach Harper's Power Rankings week one update.
Why are teams not tanking? What the hell is going on here? Did teams not get the memo about Victor Wembanyama? Have they not seen him? They not seen him on a basketball court? Have they not seen him off a basketball court? Here it is, folks. Jade, give me the chant. Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic. Brick for Vic. In my latest NBA Power Rankings right here on theathletic.com, I said, quote, I know some people hate tanking culture. I get it. I totally do. But you can't sell me on the idea. The NBA being against tanking culture when the NBA app is featuring Wembanyama highlights every time you open it. I literally try to fire up League Pass and it's Victor Wembanyama went for 34 points. Come watch.
They are shoving Wembanyama down our throats.
You like tanking. NBA. The Spurs, the Jazz, the Knicks, the Thunder. Hell, anyone except maybe a handful of teams. Memo to teams, as mentioned by Adam Silver last week.
So it's roughly around a 14% chance. Mm.
You can have a 14% chance of landing the Vic.
Tanking.
Yes. I understand you have an 86% chance of not landing him, but 14% is really good. Adam.
An 86% chance of not getting the top pick.
Thanks for doing the math on that one for us. We couldn't have done it on our own. Brick for Vic! Brick for Vic! Brick for Vic! Not going anywhere this year. You need Victor Wembanyama. What are you doing? Start losing games already. Start tanking. Embrace the tank. Jay, has data-driven basketball been tossed out the window? Are we just here for vibes and competition now?
We're just here for accidental wins. Like that's what this is all about so far, is accidental wins. Like the Jazz, they don't want to win. They don't want to win. They want to lose so many games.
The Jazz are accidentally third in the West.
And then they accidentally put together a team and hired a coach that has produced great basketball. Like, they are moving the ball. They're playing into just a pretty style. They've beaten a whole bunch of playoff teams already. Like, it's not like they're beating bums. Danny Ainge, the picture of him the other day behind Will Hardy, just looking devastated while the Jazz won another game was
so
incredible.
Angry.
Absolutely incredible. He's out there like, what? Like, Jordan Clarkson is passing the fucking ball now? Like, why? Why? Why is Jordan Clarkson helping us win games? Why is Lauri Markkanen suddenly a star? Why?
Lauri Markkanen turned into like Karl Malone. Like, all of a sudden, just dominating out there. Key, like.
Yeah. We are in an era of accidental wins. My other theory, though, is that
all the bad teams are still really bad, but they've just played the Timberwolves, and so they look better.
That is actually true. The Wolves have played the Spurs three times already this year. They played the Jazz a couple of times, the Thunder a couple of times. Like, only the Lakers can't hang with the Wolves.
The Wolves are, they got a lot of stuff to figure out, man.
You know what this
Marcus,
is?
Marcus,
I'll tell you exactly what this is. That. Go ahead. Okay, I want to hear your theory.
Oh, my theory is Adam Silver begged these specific teams, please try the first month so it looks good and then do whatever you
Bingo.
Want.
Bingo. Bingo. You know what this is? This is like, you know, you see some kids hooping and you and I get out there and I'm like, man, y'all don't want none of this, right? Y'all don't want to see me. So you get out there. And I'm going crazy hard for like the first 5 minutes. I'm crossing over. I'm playing D. Mm-hmm. And then you know what sets in? Reality. Reality hits. And then I realize I'm 45 years old, out of shape, and ain't played real hoop in a long time. And these kids out here playing every day, right?
Hours every day.
Yes,
hours.
Right? You watch how hard these teams fall. Some of these teams are going to fall off an absolute cliff. And Adam Silver's like, hey, listen, we know who you are. We know what you're doing, but at least make it look good to start. And you know what? Yeah. That's actually smart business. Give people some interest, right? Like, we thought Utah was done. We thought they were going to win 7 games. Now they're going to win 15, right? Okay, still good. But you watch how hard these – like, it's smart. Like, get some energy. Get them season tickets popping. Yeah. Get the TV.
Yeah.
And then those when the cliff sold comes,
for March and April.
You fall off that thing. Ooh, that fall is going to be precipitous.
There has to be a point where it is simply come see Talen Horton Tucker. Like, there, that's the marketing for it, right? But you can't do that in October and November. You got to save that for March and April.
There will come a time when it's Taylor Horton Tucker season. There will come a time. And it could be. It could need to be sooner than they expected. It could need to be like, dust him off, give him the rock.
They do have the flattened odds. Like, so we know Houston and Orlando are going to be down there, right? Like, Houston, Orlando, like, nothing's fixing that. Like, these guys are just young and bad.
Detroit.
I think a change is coming. I think Detroit is going to turn it around.
Detroit's
I don't think they're this bad. Yeah. I don't think they're this bad.
They've got some close losses to some good teams. Yeah.
They also, like, are, like, horrendous in the second half of games. Like, when they fall apart, like, it's pretty dramatic.
Metaphor for the season?
Outside of that, you know, the Thunder, like that, this is what they do every year. They're going to sit down Shea, like they do this every year. And it's going to be the Poku show.
They are tank masters, but they actually have like signs of life right now. Like that, that is not a terrible team right now.
They will make it terrible
halfway
at some point.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. No, there's a lot of good time. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is ridiculous, right? Like he's incredible, which is why at some point they will have to shut him down again. They do it almost every year.
Yeah, that's their thing. They they just send their good players away.
But the Spurs are just playing good, fun basketball. Like Keldon Johnson is out of his mind right now, and they're playing fast. They're playing athletic. The Jazz obviously are like 10 deep right now with the guys they have on the roster. Like they're really going to have to trade off some dudes.
The Spurs are averaging 31 assists per game.
They're playing beautiful basketball. Now, again, like you said,
31. That's like
they've played the Wolves three times already.
Celtics type shit.
Yeah. They've played the Wolves three times. So you only get one more of those, San Antonio. Like it's not gonna be every damn night you get to play the Wolves, but at some point some of these teams are gonna have to get this together. All right. Take five. Are the woeful Warriors getting rooked? We're 8 games into the Warriors 2022-2023 campaign, and the defending champs are looking anything but great. Sitting at just 3-5, 12th in the West as of this recording, Dubs were defeated by the Miami Heat on Tuesday night, 116-109 at FTX Arena. So what is happening? Is it Jordan Poole, who was called for more carrying violations than the entire Miami Heat team Tuesday night? Also, he's been so inconsistent to start the season. I'm worried that Marcus and Jay are going to pepper me with demands that he's voted most improved player in the league. Like that's how inconsistent it's been.
Wow.
We're doing it again. Apparently the NBA is focused on making a point of emphasis on those carrying calls, and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green are bewildered. Jade, play the tape.
The video still serves the purpose that it was supposed to serve.
No, not that tape of Draymond, the other tape of Draymond.
They called Jordan for three carries. I guess it was something that they had emailed and said it was going to be an added emphasis. I mean, number one, did you guys know that? And what do you just think of, I guess, the new palming emphasis?
If you're going to call that, you better call it, because every guard in the NBA carries a lot. And some of the best ball handlers in the NBA carries often. So if it's a point of emphasis, then let's see it. But I'm not sure how many I've seen all year in a C3 in one game on one guy. So if it's a point of emphasis, great. But let's see it then. Yeah. Because what, they get one? Then I love Kyle. I love Jimmy. They're great. But they not carrying the whole game. So if we only got one, and I think it was on Caleb Martin or one of those guys in front of our bench. If it's only one, can't be too much of a point of emphasis. So we'd love to see it continue being called.
Poole wasn't happy with the calls, as shown immediately after the game on his Instagram story, throwing subtle shots at the officials. Golden State dropped its third straight game and remains winless on the road this season at 0-4. Marcus, what's wrong with the Warriors?
First off, the carrying emphasis is racist. Like, this ain't nothing but the dress code revisited.
Chris Paul got hit with one last night late in the game, and he was bewildered.
Those this Jordan Poole like carries. Code. I don't
Stop
care for the point of
dribblers.
Emphasis.
He went under the ball.
Those had to be called. I don't care if there was a memo that sent out.
Jordan Poole is literally putting a Samsonite handle on the ball, right? Like, but he's been doing it forever. I don't know why they just not calling it. Like, that dude, he will get a good four steps in between dribbles. It's like dribble, feet patter, dribble. Yeah. Like,
he ends up carrying it like a bowl of ice cream at one point when he puts the hand under the ball.
He does this thing where he comes and he's about to cross over, and there's like a pause, but instead of crossing over, he'll just spin move. I'm like, you already held the ball for the allotted amount of time.
Like, he looks like fucking hot sauce out there on the N1 tour. Like, expect him to do one of those and throw the ball into the crowd. Like,
no question. He does it all the time.
He's going to put the ball under his jersey, hit it around his waist.
I see what they're saying, like, all the time. But why you calling it now, though?
I will say, the look at the ref was epic, though.
It was great, man.
The look at the ref was epic.
You could do literally a rankings with all Jordan Poole memes. I don't know if the Warriors are okay. Part of me thinks they're okay. They'll be fine, right? But the other part of me thinks maybe they're tanking for Wembanyama. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Light years.
Here's the interesting part. They're actually, the whole issue with the Warriors is the win and develop. They're actually not playing their the guys they're developing a lot.
Moody got some time on Butler last night on Tuesday night. In. But everyone else, they like, you better get your young ass
Moody's
back to the bench.
In.
Like, we're not doing this.
Kuminga's getting DMP'd. Wiseman, you know, he'll get a half. If he ain't looking good, he'll sit down. So it's not like throw those
he
guys out there
shot,
and whatever
he
happens,
blocks a
happens.
Shot and Steve Kerr pulls him out like, well, it's not going to get better than that. Like, you better sit down. You got your highlights.
That's the interesting part, like, to me.
That's why it's concerning to me, because you looked at their roster entering the season and you thought they need one of the young guys to pop. Just one of them.
Yeah.
And I figured that was a home run. One of them was definitely going to pop. Who's it going to be? Moses Moody is the leader in the clubhouse. He's been fine. Like, he's more dependable than the other guys. But Kuminga not even being in the rotation a lot of the time. Wiseman being just hurtful to their chances. It's not good. And I think Kerr said, like, we'll figure this out. They'll figure it out. They'll be fine by the end of the season. And that made me think that he's not very confident.
Here's why they'll be fine, though.
If you're confident, you're like holding them to a higher standard, saying Wiseman's got to be better. And Kerr's like, don't worry about him. He'll be fine. It's like,
Here's what he knows, though. At any point, he could just stop playing those guys. Like, at any point, he could just.
Yeah, he
right now,
have to play
he's trying
them,
to manage. Yeah. Jamichael Green and Kuminga, right? Like, Steph still ain't playing the whole... Like, everybody in Warriors land know when the Warriors are serious, Steph is playing all of the first and all of the third. He still got the weird substitution patterns and all that. But at any point, they know they could put in Jamichael Green, Dante DiVincenzo, cut them other dudes out, and it's Poole and Moody, and those are the youngsters. And when they get to that point, The problem with that is if you go ahead and wave that flag, you can't even trade them dudes. Like, you're just basically saying, I mean, you can trade them, you just won't get the value that you would think. Right. So they've got to kind of
You're not flipping those dudes for whatever the next disgruntled star is at that point, absolutely. Right?
Imagine if none of those guys pan out. And I'm not saying that's going to happen because I think Kuminga and Wiseman are still just super talented.
Yeah, I think Kuminga's a lock. Like, he's so good.
Yeah. But imagine if none of those guys pan out and the Warriors just decided with Curry and Green and Thompson to just pass on the opportunity to use those guys as trade chips and get nothing out of them. That would be really bad.
You know what I think would be funny? What would be a real light years move? Flip those young dudes and whatever salary it needs to be to Indiana for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, and then flip them to the Lakers and get those picks. Cut Russ. And at that point, you just have the Lakers picks, and you still have your core. You haven't disrupted any of that. You're not going to play them anyway at that point.
Or flip them for KD.
I think that's what the Warriors should do.
That was a galaxy brain take right there.
KD good. KD might not want to be there anymore. Even though half of his... he's shooting 50% on getting people fired, by the way. KD, always efficient. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Make sure subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. We're talking Warriors plus minus, anything's potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and also the Bun and Cardigan Show, a Detroit Pistons podcast with our good friend James Edwards III. For Jay King, for Marcus, not Clay Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.